In this pop culture saturated world, what's a nerd to do?
Hang out with your good pals on Nerdy Show, that's what.
Our flagship podcast is a weekly celebration of the multifaceted D20 that is the modern nerd.
When we're not devising horrors that combine VR and spiders or taste testing weird food, we're discussing the latest geek happenings, digging into our deepest nerd niches,
or interviewing a celebrity or two.
Head to nerdyshow.com or find us on iTunes and experience a multiverse of awesomeness.
Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Flame On. I'm Brian. I don't know if you recognize the sound of my voice. It has been some time.
Who are you?
I don't know anymore.
It doesn't look like Brian, listeners.
No. Doesn't it?
I mean, kind of.
So this is how we start every episode, with awkward weirdness. But no, we're here to talk.
Just the episodes that you're on.
Oh.
No, that's not true. Listen back to some of our other shit.
Did you listen to the last one?
Just going to put that out there. No, yeah, we're here to talk about pop culture and gay shit and not about elections and other things. So, we're talking today about Sabrina. Is that what it's called? Sabrina?
The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Thank you.
I was like, my cousin Sabrina?
I knew it wasn't just Sabrina.
I mean, the comics in front of you. You just read that.
You assume that I can read. Hey, look at that. So, it's good radio. So, no, we got BJ over there.
Hey, what's up?
We got Eric over here.
Howdy.
We got Pat over there.
Hey, hey.
And I'm here.
You're here, not there.
I'm both. Oh. I'm co-located.
Are you astral projected?
Is this why this last episode wasn't so great?
Where?
Because this happened?
Nobody said it wasn't great.
How dare you,
No one said it wasn't great.
You know.
I had to listen to it twice. I lived it and then listened to it again.
Yeah, it was
phenomenal.
All right.
Girl talk.
It was very much girl talk.
One of the listeners messaged me about it and was like, what the hell? It was good, not a bad thing.
Was it my comment about spitting in somebody's mouth during flu season?
I caught that one. That was good. That was good.
The long pause after and Pat almost falling out of his chair was like...
I mean, you made that comment a couple times. I mean, that was reiterated. It was a callback throughout the episode. Yeah.
And those episodes are usually weird for our listeners for one reason or one reason only.
Because I'm not on them.
No. Because Eric talks a lot. And people are like, Eric speaks? That's what Eric's voice sounds
why
like.
Why does Jared sound so different?
Oh, jeez. Is he huffing helium the whole time?
That's shady. That is shade
tonight.
Jared has a deep voice, does he not?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
This is
that's still a whole two octaves higher than Jared's voice.
Oh my god, that was great. I'm sorry. All right.
So, Sabrina, the Chilling Witches of the Adventures. Listen, I'm jet lagged as fuck right now.
This is great.
This is not my A game I'm bringing here now.
This is like grandpa mode, Brian, which is like the Chilling Witches of Witch Girl.
You're putting adjectives after nouns.
Witchy-poo.
It's like you're speaking a different language.
Well.
It's about a haunted cat and a girl that carries it around.
Is that really right?
No, that is not right at all.
So
I mean, a little bit.
I mean, somewhat.
A little bit.
She does carry him sometimes.
She's got a haunted pussy. I did read the
comic. It's not haunted.
That's true. I did read the book this is based on. It's an Archie comic. Reboot from what? Like 3 years ago now, and they put out like 6 issues in that time. I think 7. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just remember like 4 years of oral going. When you see Dan, ask him when the next Sabrina's coming out.
Yeah. Dan, well, thankfully, Dan's not the reason. Dan's not even involved on this.
No, I know.
But he might have some.
I mean, our longtime listeners will remember anytime we came back from a convention and say that, you know, we saw Dan Parent, Oral would always go, Do you ask him when the next Sabrina's coming out?
Needless to say, this has been an irregularly produced book, but it's really good, and they adapted it into a Netflix series that aired very recently. And was
October 26th was the release date.
Friday before Halloween.
So that that happened, and how many episodes is it?
Ten episodes. Part one is 10 episodes.
10 hour long?
Yeah.
Roughly an hour.
Hour-ish.
Yeah.
That's how Netflix does. It's one might be 53 minutes, one might be an hour four. It's averages to about an hour per episode.
I speak out of ignorance because I have not seen this at all. I want to, and I'm very excited about hearing what you guys think, but I have read the comic and I'm interested to see how similar the material is, because the comic was not well known, but it was a quite a departure from previous iterations of Sabrina.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Sabrina was this little teenage witch in the Archie universe, and they made a TV show about her, what, in the 90s, I guess?
Yep.
96?
Melissa Joan Hart as Carolyn Ray.
Yep. And, I mean, very well known, I think, for the TV show more than even the comic.
And didn't the TV show do that thing that all TV shows do once they kind of start losing their relevance?
Jump the shark?
They went to college?
Yeah. Oh. Well, yeah. I mean, she went to high school.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when you have a show, any show where you deal with school, you eventually get to a point where they can't be in school for 14
except
seasons.
Except for South Park, which is done everywhere.
Or The Simpsons.
No, South Park, they actually, I think they're in like sixth grade now.
They're moving up.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, it depends. Cartoons and whatnot, when you have actual
actors and characters,
you can't be in the same place for that long. I mean, like Glee did it. Like, you eventually have to move on. But you're right. It did, I think the first 4 years, it was on ABC.
It was at TGIF.
Yeah, it was part of their lineup, which I think they're bringing back. They're trying to bring back TGIF.
Yeah, they're bringing it back, and it's supposed to have, I think that's the new night for Fresh Off the Boat.
Oh, is it?
That makes sense.
Interesting.
So, you guys have all seen it?
Yeah.
The Netflix show, and you've, I think, all seen the original Sabrina TV show from the 90s?
Yep.
Of course.
Okay, of course.
Salem and was my spirit animal for so
Satan's
long.
For Satan's sake, Brian.
Listen.
Praise Satan.
I am very excited about one thing about this show. Michelle Gomez, a.k.a. Missy from Doctor Who.
Perfect.
Is what? Miss Satan?
Madam
Satan.
Madam Satan.
And in the comics, she's creepy as fuck with those skull eyes and all that shit. So that's what I'm interested in hearing about.
Oh, is that who that is?
Yeah.
I just read the first book today, and it's one issue, and they just show her on the last page. I don't know who she is. And again, the comic, not exactly where the show was going with everything.
The comic is set in the original period where she's like in the 50s, I
think. 60s.
Yeah.
And then the reboot show is, or the nude show on Netflix is what? Just modern.
Yeah, it's modern time.
So, like, part of what makes the comic really cool is it's a period piece. But,
yeah.
So, again, all that being
said. But you need this to be in line with Riverdale, so they're like,
well, I didn't
realize
that was a thing, and then I think you said that it's like they reference Riverdale.
Yeah, no, they mentioned it, but that was one of the big things was when it was first announced was the talk about a crossover between Riverdale and Sabrina.
And they were, and it was that was when the CW was going to pick this up.
Right.
Now, I think they're still talking about it, but it's tough to do that unless you're going to drop the entire series, because Netflix drops an entire series in one shot.
Yeah.
Riverdale's a weekly show on cable television. Or network television,
I should say. It wouldn't be a crossover week to week. It would have to be like a special
thing. But what I'm saying, the point is that when you have a crossover, it's usually timing that you need to deal with. You would need to either drop Riverdale, have that episode go first, and then drop Sabrina
again,
on Netflix.
Or you don't have
But it's still weird.
I don't think you have to do them both ways. I think this could be a case where the Archie people go and do a thing in Sabrina, or Sabrina shows up on a random thing like they did with Constantine after he did his show.
Yeah, kind of like how they did with The Flash and Supergirl. Like, it was, he just kind of showed up in Supergirl, and it really wasn't even referenced in The Flash other than he was, you know, was practicing building his speed
up. One directional crossover.
Yeah.
A one-way crossover.
Or you have a character from Riverdale, just take a trip out there.
It's firmly set in the Riverdale-verse, which is, again, the new modern Archie. But, more to the point, what did you guys think?
I think that it looks very good. I like the design of everything from the house mortuary. The school's a little lacking, but schools are pretty samey across the board. But the the forest, the town, it's all good and sufficiently creepy.
Okay, yeah. So you liked it overall?
Yeah, I like it overall.
Okay, BJ, yeah. What about you?
I enjoyed it. I think I was expecting a lot softer, actually, on the horror. I was expecting the whole idea, like, they had the traditional witch angle. Like, so, like writing your name in the Book of the Beast, which is like an old kind of American folktale-y version of what a witch is. The setting was pretty much perfect for me. The writing was a little bit stop and go, like it was real quick in some spots, so it was a little bit inconsistent. But for the character development they were trying to do in 10 episodes, and they do have quite a bit of characters, I enjoyed it. Special effects are actually pretty damn good, and I wasn't expecting them to be anywhere near that good. I wasn't expecting, like, the way when she gets her familiar, which is Salem. I wasn't expecting them to look like fucking Slenderman, but, like, actually scary. Like, I was like, oh, okay, well, that's what that is. But, no, the characters were perfect. Like, I don't think there was a single character that I think was written badly or was I didn't like. Like, every single character had kind of their part to play in the overall story, and it was everybody fit really well where they were.
Now, so both of you overall liked it. Pat, did you not?
I liked it. I just, when it dropped on Netflix, my Facebook feed was filled with overwhelming praise of how amazing this show was. And I liked it, but I didn't feel like it was a 10 out of 10 or a 12 out of 10. Good pupper. You know, like, I just, it was good. I had a lot of flashbacks to Melissa Joan Hart and Caroline Ray, and it made me sad because I'm like, these aren't my Sabrina.
No.
And who was she? She was Hilda, right? No, yeah. Zelda. Wait, which one?
Caroline Ray was Hilda.
She was Hilda?
Yeah, she
okay.
was Hilda.
I can never keep them straight. Like, it was weird. Like, I didn't read the comic. They just reprinted issue number one. Now that the success of the Netflix show is seen in the world, Archie Comics is like, hey, we could put these back out again and make some more money off of them. And who knows, maybe they'll actually write some more comics in a timely fashion.
I think one of the things that may have caused the delay in the comic is the guy, Robert Aguirre Sacasa, he is actually, I think, the writer on Riverdale and Sabrina. So, like, this is a case where I have to double check this, but the writers from the comic took on a bigger and more active role in the development of the series. So,
that's delayed, but
Afterlife with Archie as well, I believe.
Gotcha.
So overall.
So I liked it. I thought it was good.
Expectation management.
Really. Yeah. And yeah. There were a couple things that I did not love. In the first couple of episodes, they do this weird, like, RuPaul season one filter around the edge. In certain scenes, and I could not stand it because it was just random.
I think those were every time it was like, it was kind of like where it was kind of crossing into supernatural territory. Like, I noticed it was really heavy every time they would kind of go to the school, or they go to the anything that happened with the Church of the Night, or when she was summoning the Weird Sisters.
Yeah, but like, when she went to go talk to the principal at one point.
That is the one I didn't understand.
Yeah, like, there were times where it was just kind of like, if there is a specific reason for it, then I get it. You know, like, I could understand.
And I noticed it dropped off for a bit.
Yeah.
Like
it didn't appear
again.
Like, halfway through the series, it was like, we've done as much as we could with this, and we're not going to do it. Maybe it's different directors. Maybe it's a different direction on that.
And they probably understand at that point, we get it. There's a duality going on with the main character, so now you don't actually have to have a physical identifier for it. You know that she belongs to both of these worlds.
Yeah. And I did not love her getting her familiar that way. And now reading the first issue of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, the comic, I'm now even more upset because she didn't cast a spell to get her, you know, for a familiar to come to her. Her aunts gave her Salem. And he talks! He talks in the comic! But he doesn't talk in the show.
Yeah,
he does. Just
flipping through, it seems like Salem in the comic is a lot closer to Salem in Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yes.
Versus the whole idea of what familiars are in the TV show.
Absolutely.
And but that's also the thing is that from what I can tell with the TV show, it was like it was the end where Wardwell's familiar. You actually heard his voice. And I wonder if that's something they're going to play off of because now that she's...
Well, I mean,
done the thing. Now will we be able to hear him that she's like, you know.
Well, I mean, Salem did talk to her.
Yes.
Before he turned into the cat.
Well, but even as the cat, he talked to them. He talked to them all.
She meowed
at them.
She would respond.
Yeah.
She would be like, I know it's dangerous. Like
Ambrose also. It wasn't just Sabrina. Like, Salem would meow, and they would talk back to him as if he was actually speaking to them.
It was C-3PO-ing or R2-D2-ing.
Kind of. It made me miss having, and especially after reading the comic, the first issue, it made me miss having a sassy, you know, cat in the house. And then I was like, well, maybe Ambrose is that.
Ambrose filled that void.
But Ambrose is in there too.
I love Ambrose.
Ambrose is in the comic as well. So it's not like.
Who is Ambrose? I just don't know.
Cousin.
Oh.
He was the cousin. So, like, it has some correlations to the book, but seeing, like, things that they could have potentially done, it was kind of like, all right. The two issues that I kind of had mostly with it, and it's because it's being touted as so progressive, because they form Wicca. You know, as this club to four girls and to protect girls. And you have the character of Susie, who is alluded to as a trans character.
I think she's actually genderqueer.
Okay.
Because they're just
non-binary.
Fluid, very non-binary. And in fact, there's a couple characters that actually just misidentify her biologically. And she doesn't seem to blink an eye.
No. There's a reason why I think that she was trans. Was because when they went to see, was it Roz's grandmother?
Yes.
The one who was blind?
Mm-hmm.
She called him a boy.
Yeah.
And that was the point where where Susie was, like, at the most comfortable and kind of was like, okay, like, you know, don't correct her. Like, because she saw who Susie was.
Who truly is.
Well, also her aunt Dorothea also called her a boy.
A brave little boy.
Yes. So, you have these things, but only, like, you have to get into... like the later episodes before that stuff really kind of pushes forward, where it's alluded to at the beginning because of the whole, they wanted me to pull my shirt up and blah, 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 like all these things where this abuse from the football players comes in early. Like, I feel like that, like, there should have been a stronger, like, if you were going to make that a point to push.
That's where I said that the writing was like, it would kind of start. And then it would rush something, and then it would start. So it was just that the writing was a little bit inconsistent in those character development spots, especially with the high school characters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I'm wondering if they're gonna kind of push that more in season two.
No, we'll see. I mean, you never know with season one, because you're writing this and you have to try to get to a point, and you never know if you're going to get another season or how long you're going to be able to run a show.
Yeah.
The other point that came up, and I thought about it, and when I was with my friend Jason the other day, he had brought it up because we started talking about this. The cave, when Sabrina summons the Weird Sisters to come and teach them a lesson, is to have them stop messing with Susie.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that, like, you know, there's, you know, the whole teen orgy, which was a bit weird. But whatever, it is what it is.
It's the Weird Sisters.
Well, yeah. No, the glamour teen orgy, not the other teen orgy.
That was great.
When they, like, kind of come to and start taking the pictures, and it's the boys making out with each other, the whole fact of, like, the worst thing that you can do is be gay. Like, you have, on one hand, you're trying to push, like, support for a trans character, but then at the same time you're going, oh, boys kissing boys is bad. And it just, like, there could have been any other way. Like, had they cut that part of it out and just had the Weird Sisters do the second half of the torture, I'd have been okay with that. But it's like, now you have this where, you know, and I like the fact that it came back around and Hilda, you know, kind of pokes that bear with one of the football players and when they're being pricks to Susie again later in the series. But it felt lazy, and it felt like a lazy trope to go back to for that to be how they would not be, you know, like how that would make them want to not mess with Susie anymore.
Well, I think it's a contrast with maybe their own masculinity. I mean, I haven't seen this, but like, instead of it being like, ew, that's bad, it's torture because to them it's so
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But
I know what you're saying.
2018 in a show that's pushing progressive, like, tolerance and things to defend people.
Right.
But so you're gonna defend women and trans women, but being gay is a bad thing. Like, I'm just
but only bad to them, not to everyone else.
So
you know what I mean?
So what they're
but
really
it's, but it's the audience that's yeah. seeing this. But that's what, the problem.
So what they were actually trying to go for, I don't think is either one of those. I think they were trying to go for the fact that because they're men, they're easily manipulated by arbitrary things like that. Mm-hmm. It just came off as the way as like a trope.
No, and I get yeah. that. And boys are horny. Boys, like, you know, you can get them to do these
sensitive
things.
Sensitive about, like, their image and stuff like that.
But it's still a matter of they have these Polaroids, which, I mean, now I guess it's hipster thing to get a Polaroid camera.
Yeah.
Goddamn, my childhood. But I feel so old. But for them to then have these pictures and be like, well, we're going to show the school you guys making out. If you fuck with Susie again, like it just
yeah,
it could have been done a little
yeah,
bit better.
There's definitely a way they could have
unfortunate pushed. Because Robert is a gay writer and he's actually done comics. He worked for Prism. He did work for Prism Comics. Like,
well, no, but that's not to say creator. That he wrote everything.
No, you're
because
right.
you have a writer's room.
Yeah, no,
so,
of course.
You know, so yeah. It could have been anything, but
because the rest of the season does a really good job
yeah.
of showing how women, especially with Miss Wardrell. Like she is the master of manipulation and shows how she manipulates men and women and kids.
So is that Madam Satan?
That is Madam Satan.
So I want to get to the important part to me at least.
Imagine a workplace with no distractions or disruptions. No endless searching to find the latest version. No constantly switching between apps. Now imagine a place where everything just flows. At Dropbox, we're building a home for all your team's work. With a suite of tools that maximizes inspiration and minimizes distraction. Because when teams are in flow, everything just clicks. Visit dropbox.com/flow. Dropbox. Keep teams flowing.
How was Michelle Gomez? Was she amazing? Because I'm sure she was amazing.
Yes, she was amazing.
She was on point.
Her American accent is convincing? Because that's always a problem.
It's weird. It's not like a... It's not your traditional, like, newscaster, like, Midwest.
Middle America, yeah.
Yeah, the Midwest accent that they teach anchors and people that are going to be on TV and radio. But it didn't need to be.
Yeah.
Like, she had, because, I mean, well, first off, they're in, like, the Massachusetts area, so you can get away with having a little bit different of an accent. But she plays two different characters. The first episode is where you actually meet her human character that she plays, and then it changes because then she's killed and, you know, Madam Satan takes over and her
as
this teacher at the school to be able to try to manipulate Sabrina. It was weird, but it worked for her, and like the whole visage and the character of it
yeah, because I didn't even at one point I wasn't even paying attention to her accent at all, like yeah. I was just more interested in the shit she was up to.
Did she have the skull eyes? Did they do that?
They didn't. I'll have to go back and look at the last episode. You don't see her true face till the last episode.
Okay.
But it's pretty reminiscent of how it was in the comic. It's kind of desiccated looking creep
yeah.
show.
Skull.
Yeah.
Rotting flesh kind of. So, okay. So it sounds like this is a, I mean, even if it was a little overhyped, let's say, by people on social media, it sounds like they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, no, it was good. I had some people that were touting it as, like, the successor to Buffy.
No, it's definitely not that.
As, like, you know, the girl empowerment and, like, you know, supernatural, like, creature fight. And I almost kind of wanted more Creature of the Week in some of the episodes. Because you only really fight, like, one or two, like, evil
like
creatures.
Creatures, yeah. Most of the time, it's just kind of, it's people.
That nightmare demon, though. That episode that made me think of Buffy.
Yeah,
was very much a Buffy episode. But it was a nice break.
It was that was probably one of my favorite episodes because it was so like
it was
bizarre.
Buffy supernatural.
Yeah,
and that was the thing is they've been kind of they build the world because here's the thing is you've got the Dark Lord Satan the devil whatever
Hail Satan,
but like. They make it very, very clear and apparent that they're like, no, no, no. There's other worse things out there than just the devil. Like, just the devil.
Well, maybe not worse,
well,
but
I mean,
just as bad.
Well, I mean, but just as, like, even more powerful. Like
the
death,
Grim Reaper, yeah.
The Grim Reaper, the Soul Eater, whatever those fucking creepy bird things are that are in the...
Pompalus?
But then there was like, then there's apparently like a king of that realm. Like they've, they kind of touch on expanding like the actual verse part of it. And I like that because I would like them to kind of, because they didn't really show any of them. You heard one. But like they've mentioned one or two of them twice. So I'm like, it would be interesting if they actually had a visual. Could you get all sorts of pictures of goat Satan?
That they're being sued over?
Why are they really being sued over?
Yes, the Church of Satan has sued them.
Yeah, for that statue.
For the...
Oh, the statue at the...
Baphomet?
Yeah.
Because that is a trademarked design of Baphomet that the Church of Satan copyrighted and was used in... down to almost the exact like T in the show.
Yeah, with the two kids in front of him.
Yeah, the kids I think are slightly like askew, like they're not as but Baphomet himself, like that's straight up. When I saw it, I was like, that's the statue they put in the courthouse.
Yeah.
And then I read the article and they're like, the Church of Satan is suing Netflix because nobody asked them for permission to use it in the show. Hmm. So Baphomet may look a little different in season two. They have to recast him.
I also like how they presented the church. The church, honestly, to me, felt pretty much just like any other church. Like, it was pretty much like, you're going to follow these rules. Why? Don't ask questions. Like, oh, yeah. Oh, wow. This feels way too similar.
Organized religion in any, like, show from someone who's subversive is going to feel like that.
And and I like the contrast between the aunts, because you have one that's super devout, and then you have one that's just like, eh.
Well, if anything, I think Hilda was the closest to the equivalent character from Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
She did give me very much Caroline Ray.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little bit sweeter, but yeah.
Yeah, a little less sassy.
A little less sassy, but she has her moments.
Zelda, I liked Zelda most of the time, but there were times where I felt like she was, and again, not having read the comic beforehand, maybe they're not being portrayed, or, you know, I'm only going by the Teenage Witch series. It just felt like Zelda was a little too harsh sometimes.
The comic, they kind of portray a little bit more of a united front.
Mm.
But in I know, like, especially with Afterlife of Archie, when she royally fucks up, they have no problem shunting her ass into limbo to be like, well, nope, you are in detention for, like, 5 million years. But this one, I actually really like Zelda, because Zelda, out of all the characters, has one of the most more interesting, at least to me, more interesting character arcs, because she goes from borderline zealot to kind of like, this is the thing that I've dedicated my life to. It's kind of shit, but it's the thing I have. But then she, you know, pulls some massive shit at the end of the season that you're like, And all the different times where she, you know, she berates Sabrina for being essentially not what she thinks she's supposed to be. But there are other times where she's very defensive of Sabrina, and that increases as the season goes on, and I like that, because both the aunts are starting to kind of level out.
Well, I think with Zelda, it's not so much a question of faith overall, I think it's a question of where she's putting her faith. And she was putting it so much into Father Blackwood. And so I think he let her down. Not necessarily the church let her down.
Yeah. He let her down on his dick.
Which I think that's certainly my least favorite character of the season. And not just because he's supposed to be the greasy slime ball. I think, I don't know, just the way the actor portrayed the part, I just didn't.
You did what you were supposed to do. Not like him.
Well, I mean, you could have a character you're supposed to hate, but I mean, still done well.
Like, yeah. Miss Wardwell.
Yeah.
Like, Miss Wardwell was done very well, and you're not really supposed to like her, but I kind of love her. And Father Blackwell to me, just, he's corrupt preacher man. Like, he has the church, he's got the power, but he has his own agenda. And you really don't find out specifically what that is till the end of the season. Like, how Ambrose kind of gets mixed up in it, which I love the look on Ambrose's face at the end of the season of, oh, fuck, what did I just do? Like, everybody gets their marching orders from the Dark Lord at the beginning of the season, but you have Miss Wardwell, who's actually truly devout to the Dark Lord, and then you have Father Blackwood, who's devout, quote, in quotations, to the Dark Lord, but is very much about his own shit. So you've got kind of two sides of that bad guy coin floating around.
Yeah, and you never 100% know what he's actually, like when he says that, oh, the Dark Lord told me to do this, you never 100% know if that's actually legit. In a series where they literally do summon Satan, and, you know, Satan rolls up for dinner. So, you know, it's interesting to see how they kind of roll with that.
Yeah.
And I'm a little sad that they didn't, I mean, I'm assuming we'll get more of it in season two, but the potential warlock hunter, the boy that was killed, and then his boyfriend who starts dry humping Ambrose.
Oh, they ain't dry humping.
Well,
that's some raw dog shit right there.
I mean, everything we saw was, you know, some dry humping.
I mean, and tops to Ambrose for bisexual Ambrose. I'm down. He is down to
play.
They
all were. Like, it was just like, it was whoever's got a hole.
Oh, and we're not even mentioning Nick Scratch.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him.
But that was the one thing, is he's one of the characters where you're thinking like, okay, he's got an agenda. But when he pulls Sabrina aside and it's just like, you really love somebody. And he's like, witches can lust and hate and do whatever they want for days. He's like, but love is something that's really weird and rare in us. And, you know, especially when he meets Harvey, like, I really want a bromance between the two of them, because I kind of like the whole, like, Harvey's not hating on him because he's like, are you into Sabrina? And he's like, no, because she loves you, you idiot. Like,
I feel like that's going to be a very antagonistic bromance, where they'll squabble and they'll fight, but they'll, you know, have that like, I got your back, bro.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, Nick wasn't, it didn't seem completely on board with Sabrina's stuff.
Oh, you mean the start of the craft?
Yeah, the start of the craft. He didn't seem particularly excited or happy about it. So I'm actually very excited to kind of see that character get developed more. And as is Luke. I mean, Luke was sassy and the quick-witted, but I'm very interested to see Luke and Nick get a little bit more character development as well.
I just wanted How Soon Is Now to start playing when Sabrina and the Weird Sisters started walking out with their slick back hair and their fucking chokers.
Oh, yeah. And,
it really was the cover of the craft.
So that actually, they said that was a 100% reference to the craft.
Sure.
Of course it was.
Her outfit is from Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah.
And one of them was from Carrie as well.
Yes.
Yeah. No. So, I mean, they definitely are smart in the world of horror, and they make those references.
Actually, I think that was her dress for the black baptism before it got turned black.
Yeah.
I think that was actually Carrie's, like, prom dress. It kind of looked, it was very white.
I saw the picture online. Yeah, it's totally Carrie. So overall, positive. If you haven't watched the show, I think that there's ample reason to go check it out.
For sure, yeah.
It's a good, modern, sort of genderqueer and pro gay, I don't know.
It's pro everything at this point.
Pro everything. Pro holes.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
For Satan's sake.
For trans, and it's sort of transgressive, and I think that's also part of what makes the comic and the TV show in this sort of age of ridiculous throwback to when America was great and all. It's nice to have a show that goes, yeah, no, fuck you. We're gonna do our thing.
Yeah.
So I'm glad it's out there. I intend to watch it, so I hope. If you all enjoy it and you want to tell us what you think, of course, you know, you can find us on all of the social media. If you go to flameonshow.com, there is a whole litany of chicklets down at the bottom that get you to all of our social media presences.
And if you haven't watched it, they had the original cast, or at least four of the original cast from Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Watch it and react to The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. You have Melissa Joan Hart and Nate Reichert, who played Harvey.
He hot now.
Yeah, not mad about it.
He hot as fuck.
And then you had Caroline Ray, and I can't remember her name.
Zelda.
We're just changing her name to Zelda. Yep. But yeah, they watch it in pairs and react to it, and it's really kind of cute to watch.
It's adorable. This isn't our Sabrina.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you enjoyed it, you can go to patreon.com/nerdyshow and share some of your love with us. Earmark it for us. Help us stay in the lifestyle to which we have become accustomed.
I'm telling you. Oh, what was the idea I had?
Oh, I talked to Spike. Album. I talked to Spike. He's in. He thinks that it's a great idea.
Talking about doing a spoken word album with Eric.
But,
oh, my God.
But only if you're a Patreon subscriber.
Oh.
This will happen if you help earmark some money on Patreon. but it's only songs with fast lyrics.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
That's the twist. It's what not lyrics? Just Shatner, like, it's Shatner doing really fast songs. Oh. Like the
super bass.
Suck it in, suck it in, suck it in. If you're Rin Tin Tin or Anne Boleyn, make a desperate move or else you'll win. And then begin to see what you're doing to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to go online right now and sign up and subscribe and pay money.
We need to do this. As well as a calendar. Demand a calendar. Yeah, yeah.
So, patreon.com/nerdyshow, and just let us know. Let them know Flame On sent you. And again, all the social media is usually Flame On Show or Flame On Podcast, depending on which platform you're looking at. We'll be back in 2 weeks with some more fun stuff. Full cast. Fullish cast. Hopefully fuller than the last half cast.
Girl talk.
We'll see. But yeah, thanks for listening. See you all later.
Praise Satan.
Bye.
Turn your distractions off and discover your new favorite podcast. This is Bose Recommends.
Hi, I'm Lydia Bright from The Brights, a show that captures the highs and lows of family life. We're delighted to be part of Bose Recommends. There is no show like this. We've let a team of producers into our home to capture everything. The moments of bliss, the moments of chaos, the fallouts, and the kiss and makeups. Come meet the whole family by listening on Acast, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Enjoy your new favorite podcast without distractions. Discover how at Bose.co.uk. Bose. Focus on.